fire up. I'm proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
You must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
Now the gladiators hobble, aren't he, with the left forearm.
It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
The crowd love it. They've all taken their angry pill. This smashes him to ground. The one-handed pass back inside.
The delicate kick.
And he smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early. Thank you, Mrs. Robinson.
Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the bird.
He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd starting to go wild. Intercepted.
Shows it. Goes outside. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try. Yes, it's a try. It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and Chris Gayle, as they fire up.
Chris Gayle.
Stephen Ferris.
That intro, of course, it begs me to consider life, the big picture, where I stand, what role football has to play in it, rugby league particularly, sport, and I come to a different realisation virtually every week now for the last 40 or 50 years.
Well, I think it's 20, but what conclusion did you reach this time?
Well, we often say, are the footy gods going to smile or not smile on us? You know, and I was saying the other night, I was on my knees begging somebody, any god, I don't know whether it's a pluralist god or a monotheistic god, or any type of god at all, or it could be a number of them who will just smile occasionally and say, you know what, in the last 13 years, I think nearly, we haven't had a win. A decent win. I mean, percentage win. I mean, we all know out of 26, 27 rounds, you've got to have a percentage above 13 or 14 at least, you know. And I know that you're in the same position as me.
Yeah, look, I'm no theologian, fact. But I feel all organised religion has got it wrong. But the footy gods are real.
They're real.
And
they ignore us all the time.
And their wrathful vengeance on our clubs is unremitting,
yes,
repeated, and continuous.
Yes. So it led me to feel, you know, this general sort of polarity sort of thinking, you know, am I a socialist or am I a fascist, you know? Do I believe in winning or losing? You know, yes, I go, yes, I want to win, but do I want the footy gods to help me win or whatever it takes to make me win? And so there's a part of me that goes, is compassion necessary? Really, like the cockroach, you just want to survive, don't you? And thus I know that Melbourne are always going to be the cockroach of rugby league and will survive.
This is just proof positive that you're not doing the right thing by said God, Stephen. If you go to the current table, the top two teams are from Queensland.
Yep.
The dreaded Storm are coming third, and Cronulla rounds out the top four.
How happy does that not make us feel, hey?
That's just absolutely appalling.
So I'm just thinking about this notion of, well, Darwin had it right, survival of the fittest, you know, like those that survive win over those that lose, you know. And I'm thinking in terms of, well, there's an argument right now for putting Teddy Tedesco down. Because he's an impediment to his own health, his own brain, his family, and rugby league, and the Roosters.
I don't want to make light of it, Stephen, but he's up to 10 concussions, which is as many sin bins as Latrell Mitchell, and joining him again, right, somewhat unfairly.
Well, we heard that heartfelt plea, didn't we, from Peter Fitzsimons this week?
Yeah, the Victor Radley. Well, look, everybody was up in arms about the Fitzsimons article. I didn't read it. Couldn't be bothered. But
would have brought a tear to your eye.
I'd hate to think that Teddy gets put down. But the evolutionary thing is important. I mean, our producer, Mash, was just opining before we started to record this, is when are people going to just start to hone in on the fact that the Roosters get concussed all the time? What are they doing wrong?
What are they doing wrong?
Whereas Melbourne, perennial top of the table, that is bioengineering.
Unbreakable.
That is genetics engineering at its finest. That is evolution writ large, a la Darwin.
Well, I'm looking at various things through this prism. I'm just thinking about Latrell Mitchell, that many people are actually commenting on the man right now.
Everyone
and is he too special, or just pretty special, or not special at all? And should he be wiped out because he doesn't, as maybe Gus would suggest, not enough love for the game? He's just a generally gifted guy who's lazy as buggery and doesn't look for the work, doesn't run for the ball.
I was at the elimination of the Sydney Roosters versus the Brisbane Broncos in 2015, and I was not invited to the room, Stephen, but there was a tearful farewell from Roger Tuivasa-Sheck from the defeated Chooks, along with a tearful James Maloney, because he always is. And Roger was leaving because Nick Politis supposedly was not prepared to pay the money Roger wanted to be a fullback.
Right.
He says fullbacks are not worth that. Well, jump forward 9 years.
Yes, and now
Billy Slater stuffed it up for everybody.
Yes.
The expectations on fullbacks are enormous. And Latrell is preternaturally talented, Stephen.
Yes.
But he's probably not a fullback, because they have these high work rates, you know, Pappenhausen style. They've all got to be hanging off the hooker, weaving magic. And he's been criticised as a result of who he's not.
Yeah.
I think what we have to lean into is who Latrell is.
Yes.
And when he comes back from this latest infraction,
yeah,
get him in the centres.
Is he special?
In many ways.
In many ways.
In many ways.
And doesn't he have not just millionaires, but billionaires, but celebrity Hollywood superstars backing him? Can't any one of those step in and say, enough's enough?
Well, there is a thing called the salary cap, Stephen, and that money can't solve everything. It could certainly solve a few of our problems right now. Yes. I agree with you. But this is really interesting because...
Didn't you just mention that some teams have a war chest?
Well, your team...
Yes.
And we'll come to where Zach Lomax has been eating his dinner soon.
Yes.
But because you're freeing yourselves of the Lomax contract...
Yes.
You've been reported that the St. George Illawarra Dragons are about to have a $3 million war chest.
And that's supposed to be an intimidating statement, isn't it? Look how much money we've got. We're coming for you.
I can tell you, the Tigers have frittered away a few war chests in the past. But the thing that stands out to me is what defines a war chest?
Yeah.
If you've got $1 million in your salary cap, that's
just
$1 million.
Right? A big chest, a good chest, but not a war chest.
You got $3 million, you got yourself a war chest.
And if it's in gold, Chris?
Whatever happened to Chairman... Remember Chairman Smith was accumulating a war chest?
That's right.
So you could...
Raid rugby union.
It was either to prevent people to go into rugby union
or to buy
or to
them.
Come from AFL. Yeah, yeah. Where's that money gone? Gone into a slush fund. And Volani's got his hands on it.
And talking about putting people down, what about Desi? What's happening with Desi in the Gold Coast? I mean, surely he's going to be sent to pasture. The nice way to put it?
I feel we've done our faithful listeners a disservice, Stephen, by not more closely monitoring Des Hasler's press conferences. And I'm certainly going to make an
effort.
A habit of it going forward, because you just want to hear him go...
You're going to do the work, as Gus says, right?
Look, and exactly right. And the really difficult thing for Des is he's persisted. Oh, my Lord, has he persisted with Kieran Foran. Mm-hmm. And once Foran departed the field against the North Queensland Cowboys, one of the high-flying teams, AJ Brimson went into 5-8 and a little bit of magic happened. And there's nothing worse that we're on a losing streak that you score 4 tries in the second half and still lose.
Now, what was... we go back in time. Of course, Desi's had many guises over the years. And The Mad Professor. Now, the man at the forefront of a lot of technology when it came to educating rugby league players, way back to the whiteboard, aerial, drones, etc.
Yes, he was the cherry picker guy. I think he went the cherry picker before the drones.
Before the drones.
He's brought his schoolmasterly skills to the game. He's obviously a furniture rearranger, famously likes to move things around. And he's always at war with the media and the refs.
Yes.
You'll remember the Voldemorts won't be able to refer the refs by name, as opposed to Robbo. And I love how when he was at Belmore, he used to call press conferences for 7 o'clock in the morning on the assumption that none of the journos would get
turn up. Yeah. Well, I do remember going to breakfast with an ex-coach of yours, and that was pretty much 7 in the morning, wasn't it?
Madge McGuire, who's in the conversation, Stephen, as Jason Demetriou looks over his shoulder as they play the show.
Has he got resilience, though, Chris?
And grit,
right.
I'm telling you, if Madge McGuire, after being summarily bounced out of South Sydney when they were at Redfern because he turned it into a concentration camp. And then a very, very difficult period, well-documented in Tales from Tiger Town. Somehow he's reinvented himself as Origin coach. If he comes back to coach the Rabbits, forget your Michael Jennings. That's a redemption
that
story.
That is the big one.
That's how you rewrite your story. But he could be trumped by Wayne.
You think Desi's taking notes? If Madge can do it.
Look, let's line up the forces here, because the race to the bottom doesn't just feature the Gold Coast Titans. It's South Sydney Rabbitohs right at the bottom, Stephen.
Yes.
And you mentioned the billionaires involved. Let's just tick them off. James Packer.
Sorry, can you say that one more time?
At the bottom. The absolute cellar dweller.
And there's a theory going around, of course, that all those that went to Las Vegas are now floundering.
Well, that's right. Yeah. I think it's a hemisphere thing, right?
Yeah, and not Justin.
And let's line them up. Yeah. In the South camp, we've got Crow, who's currently filming...
Probably pretty filthy rich.
He's currently filming Nuremberg.
Nuremberg?
Yeah, where I guess you'll hear a little bit about how people try to change things.
Yes.
you've got Cannon Brooks,
yeah,
and you've got Packer.
And Cannon Brooks is what, 6-8 billion?
Oh, he's in the double digits billions.
Double digit
the
billionaire.
List, Forbes list came out last week.
Sorry, this is the Rabbitohs, mm-hmm. the working man's club. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
We're talking Redfern and Waterloo here, right?
They're now sponsored by nutrition supplement company USANA.
Right.
Out at, where is that Heffron Park? I went to my Gregory's the other day. I couldn't find it.
You've got to remember, though, that it is going upwardly mobile. Anything south of Coogee, of course. But basically, it's a sand bloody dune, the whole thing.
Okay, so you got
nothing grows there.
You've got your three billionaires. Yeah. If you can get a cabal together that's Bennett...
Sorry, you said Packer?
Packer?
Cannon Brooks?
Cannon Brooks.
Yeah.
And Crow.
Crow. He must be nudging up there.
Yeah, and if Dimitri, he's gone. Yeah. Right, let's just accept that he's gone.
Yeah.
And you get a cabal together of Bennett, Hassler and Maguire. Now you're really cooking with gas.
Old blokes rule, Chris.
Oh, they do. It's wonderful to see, Stephen. Wonderful.
Now, finally, in this sort of discussion about Darwinism, etc., and Melbourne, the cockroach of the rugby league, what do you think?
Melbourne, they...
Or is it just Bellamy's the cockroach of rugby league?
Well, you know... The cockroaches, according to Darwin, are a natural phenomenon.
Do they have grit?
And resilience.
And resilience.
Yeah. You'll never see a cockroach slip in the shower, no. Stephen. You'll see them scurry.
And they all go for work. Is there somewhere I need to be? I'm going to go for work today.
Right. And
Gus would love them.
And look, I just saw Godzilla Kong, the New Empire. And it's the discussion of biology versus science. Yeah.
And, you know, we were very disappointed that the last couple of years, the iterations of State of Origin, that the cockroach cane toad motif wasn't used.
Remember they used to spray the cockroach?
Remember?
It's terrific. And then they had some ridiculous ban on aerosols. I don't know what's going on up in Queensland. Let me tell you, the ozone's thin up there, though. So you've got the battle between biology and science.
Yeah.
You've got the cockroach's biology. You've got Melbourne, who's science.
Yeah.
And they continue to wage this evolutionary war. But the one thing that's successful...
An internal war.
That in 3065, when the rest of us are gone, Melbourne will still be playing at Amy Park.
And they'll play nobody.
To cockroaches.
Cockroaches.
And there'll still be that damn cowbell, Stephen.
Look, Will Ferrell, I love him dearly, right? Now, I don't know if that's where the idea came from, but every time that cowbell kicks into gear, there's some sort of gland reaction deep down in my system that goes, oh.
And what do you secrete, Stephen?
Hate.
Red mist.
Red mist and hate. It descends. Look, descends deep down.
I'm pretty confident. I have a very clear memory of the early days at Olympic Park in the windswept Melbourne Sunday afternoons hearing that cowbell. Yep. So I think it was a real person.
Yes.
So I think it predates Ferrell, but it definitely, dare I say, for you, Stephen, it's triggering.
Triggering, and for some reason I never see it coming. there it goes again. Now we are talking about South Sydney and surviving and barely surviving. Now, first of all, in this survival sort of scenario, is it going to be Latrell first or is it going to be Demetrio first?
Well, according to the pundits, Stephen, it'll be Demetrio, not Latrell, who pays the ultimate price unless they beat Cronulla and turn around a 5-16 record or 5-15 record. All bets are off.
So this is still the Bennett curse.
The Bennett curse, which is something that up until now I failed to accept, it is clearly real. That is scientific fact.
Yeah.
And the reason that Souths are going to get Wayne Bennett back, because they keep saying Wayne will keep coaching until they put him into a box, right? And so, you know, he looks spry, he looks fit. So I'm saying 20 years.
Right, because his contract runs out end of the year.
That's right. So if I'm the current Souths power brokers, be they the Ellisons, the Pappas.
And where do they meet up?
Or the Solis.
Where do they meet?
Billionaires Club.
Billionaires Club.
Right. You've got
the Rothschilds, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Are there any Kennedys invited?
The Rockefellers. No. They've all got their little factions, right? So Ellison, Pappas, and Solly are there, and they go, I tell you what, if we can sign Wayne and he coaches another 20 years, we'll all be in a box, so we don't give a stuff about the curse.
Doesn't matter.
Him back.
So there's this theory, of course, that Gus Gould is saying, and that whole get the violins out. Littrell's going to walk away. He's going to walk away from the code. And, of course, without Brian Smith's war chest, he might. I know Cannon Brooks has got a war chest, but he's not allowed to use it, right?
No, he's it all be sort of, organically and, biomedically appropriate.
So the question is, of course, how many brain snaps can a player endure before they walk?
Well, he's got 10 sin bins.
10 sin bins. And who's he in battle with?
Bradley.
Who
rather unfairly, I think, was had appended to him his 10th sin bin in the loss to the Bulldogs.
Red Mist Bradley.
Yeah, Red Mist. He's got form. He's binned.
Yeah.
Brain snaps, I think whatever the quota was, Latrell went over it last Saturday against the Warriors.
Right. Yeah. So we're treading on very, very shaky ground now. I didn't see that game in full. I just see a few things. There was an upending tackle, which he wasn't picked up for.
Tohu Harris got a concerning letter. Yeah. The letter said...
Concerning letter.
You put him into a dangerous position.
I'm concerned.
But then you put him down again.
So we're not so concerned.
And you didn't go on with it.
Okay. Now, what he did to Sean Johnson was criminal. And I'm sure that all of New Zealand are up in arms about Latrell and about to sort of... hang him up somewhere.
I think it was Billy Slater who said, had he really executed, he would have been gone for half a season. And everybody says because Sean Johnson's jaw wasn't broken, he only got 3 weeks, Stephen.
Right. Because he has got form for breaking jaws, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, cheekbones.
But, of course, he was flown in a private jet with the two power brokers of rugby league itself to light a pathway, as you said so eloquently, Chris.
So they went up to Moree during the week, Cody Walker and Latrell Mitchell, and doing tremendous work with...
For the kiddies.
Kids.
Yeah.
Doing clinics. One would argue that Cody Walker...
Are we talking the Indigenous kiddies primarily or any kiddie?
Look, I think any kiddie, but I think the Indigenous kiddies were well represented, Stephen. And it's called the Project Pathways Initiative. I love the NRL. They're just so creative with their names.
Yes. Pathways Initiative.
I think I've met my 17th Pathways official this season.
Yes.
And the aim to help towns ravaged... Yeah. by a spike in youth crime such as break-and-enters and car thefts, Stephen.
Yeah.
And the clinics, as I said, Cody Walker probably, rather than give the clinic, probably should have gone to a clinic based on his form recently. But I think the most impressive thing out of this, because I'm in awe of the great work that Walker and Mitchell do on this issue, is that no more humble a man himself than Peter Volandis reflected on what rugby league has done for him. And can we just play the quote here, Stephen?
Yes.
It was rugby league through a role model that came and spoke to me that gave me the inspiration to want to succeed.
Right.
I could have gone down a completely different path. I could have been on the wrong side of the law if it wasn't for the game of rugby league.
So this is in the hard knock streets of Wollongong.
100%. And so Volandis said, but for rugby league, I would have been a criminal. Yeah. Look at me. I ended up the boss of Racing New South Wales, which means I'm not a criminal.
No. Good point, Chris. Now, could they be wheeled out for Alice Springs?
Well, that's the big time.
Yeah.
That's the big time. And I think that with the on-field performance of the Rabbits, I think in the strategic plan that they desperately need, that would be off-season work, Stephen.
But you must admit, PVL has done some great stuff, and he's still learning, Chris. You know what he learned when he went to Vegas recently? I think.
I do. So there was a lot of talk. The whole season is defined by slipping in the shower, bizarre cooking accidents, hospitals and schools, right, Stephen?
And Leichhardt, now it's about survival of the fittest.
Leichhardt Oval, all those things happen at Leichhardt Oval. Okay. You definitely would slip in those showers.
Yeah.
You can't cook to save your life.
Yeah.
And they're taking money away from schools and hospitals if they refurbed it. So attention is torn to Acor Stadium, Stephen. And there was talk about putting some sort of PVC roof.
For Beyonce, right?
Yeah, with a big PVL logo on it for Beyonce. And Volandis has come on board because he said he was opposed to roofs on stadiums.
Because it was what, an unnecessary expense?
I don't know. Until he went to Allegiant and saw how good it was with the tornadoes outside in Vegas.
Wow.
And it's like he's never been to a Pink concert. So like he got caught in the rain.
So he's climate aware.
Yeah. So he's come down in favour of it. Says, I'm not a criminal.
Yes.
And I'm in favour of roofs on stadiums. And Chris Minns says, get on your bike. We're all about schools.
He's a man
and
for the future. And did he make any comments about the son of Winx the other day? Was it the filly? The daughter of Winx. The only known daughter of Winx, correct?
He wouldn't have made a comment, Stephen. He'd be making a documentary.
$10 million.
Anyway, Stephen, what a big 3 weeks for Latrell Mitchell. And hopefully he takes to heart and this will help Jason Demetriou through his hard times. With the throw on Tohu Harris and the elbow to Johnson, he's got to stop doing these stupid acts.
Yes, I just say, look where Steve Price is now.
And now, the only woman to climb Mount Everest on the inside, Ellen Foley, thank you.
We'll be right back. they're dialed in. They can win the competition. Off the back of what they did last year, they pick up Kurt Capewell, Roger Tuivasa.
Well, he was out. Kurt Capewell didn't play.
Mitch Barton. They had a whole heap of injuries in this game, but they're a squad, they're a team, they're a club. They've got support from outside the football department in terms of up the Waz, and everyone loves the Warriors. If the Warriors make it through to the grand final, it'll be a huge occasion. I think they can. I think they can win the comp.
Billy Slater, also known as what? The Modern Horseman, really?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, the horse whisperer's already been taken. The coach whisperer's been taken. But I don't know. Maybe not the Modern Horseman. The Something Horseman?
Okay, so you know when you saw the horseman or the horse itself loaded up with lights? Glen Campbell style. What was that? The electric cowboy? The electric horse?
I like that. Electric cowboy. Electric cowboy. Okay. I think that kind of works.
Okay. So you're saying the Waratahs are dialed in.
This is a... We just chart the vernacular in rugby league, Stephen, and dialed in is a thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's a mind control thing.
Totally a mind control.
Modern hypnosis.
Well, we reported exclusively on this show. It was Michael Shamus, I believe, who was in attendance courtesy of the Sydney Roosters at the UCLA College training grounds in the lead up to the Vegas game.
Right, okay.
And it was very jocular. The boys are sort of, you know, kicking a football
mucking
around.
About.
Yeah, having a laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, saying what they'd seen on movies the last night, talking about the afternoon golf game. And then all of a sudden, over the megaphone, you hear, dial in from Trent Robinson.
And they instantly change.
Automatons. Yeah, they lock in.
Westworld style. Yeah.
Where do they go now? And Robbo steers around the training park. As we recall, they warm-up routine, they were like chickens. and then they got into the training mode. And what we worked out was that Robbo had gone on a field trip to Vegas and gone to every hypnotism show.
Yeah, and said, can you hypnotize chickens?
Yeah. Good.
We got some rugby league players to work on, right?
And so
bring him over.
Yeah, so when he says the words, dial in, it's been hypnotically suggested that the Roosters still locked down.
Right, so do this have its sort of origins in carny folk?
The whole rugby league has its origins in carny folk, Stephen.
Okay, so these modern sort of well-being merchants, you know, Mandrake the Magician styles, where they come up with this hypnosis to then basically put them all into one page, as they say, Chris. We're all on one page now. Robbo's the master. Robbo's had some help with, you know, the coach whisperer and many others, I think.
Yes,
you know.
1%ers.
Gosh, we talked about this ad nauseum. And so you reckon it's now a tried and tested formula you can utilise for other teams and other codes and other sports, whether they're men or women or basketball or whatever. But you have to have one person, one voice, one training technique, correct?
So this is another expression I've patented, Stephen. Rugby league is an arms race. And when someone gets an edge, everybody else wants
Darwinism,
one.
Chris, come on.
If you remember,
survival of the fittest.
If you remember, Peter Volandis a couple of seasons ago mandated that every team has to have Cooper Cronk as a halves coach.
Right.
Because he was doing good work at the Roosters and the Storm, so everybody has to get it, right?
Right.
So everybody's now into mindfulness. Right. Everybody's got a position on it, trying to distill down the essence. And if you say it's a carny folk thing, if you're saying that the modern mindfulness coaches are like the snake oil salespeople of days gone past.
Yes.
I 100% agree with you.
Fair, true, yeah. Mm. But there are many people calling for the things that Trent doesn't have under control, like really the way Teddy runs at defenders.
Yes, well, Teddy had a rather unfortunate collision with a Viliami Kikau Exocet missile.
He's a big boy.
He's been out of sorts, Stephen.
Yeah.
And he logged up 149 metres in the first half as the Bulldogs ran rampant at a saturated Acor Stadium.
Right.
And it led Michael Ennis, who's just been brilliant all season with things like he's cut it like a knife through hot butter.
So you said rampant. 30-26, though. It wasn't quite rampant.
It was 26 blood at half-time, Stephen.
Half-time, right.
Okay. And, Ennis said, Kikau's run for 149 metres. He only needs one to run 150.
Wow.
That's the insight that he gets paid for.
Not dialed in.
Not dialed in.
Right. Now, what happened to Sam Walker?
Sam Walker was another head clash, I think. Oh, he was HIA'd, as was Teddy.
Yeah.
And the Roosters, the war of attrition was so bad, Stephen, that superstar recruit from the Newcastle Knights, Dominic Young, was dismissed for a head-high shot on Blake Taff, who sort of crumpled to the ground like a piece of paper all
and we sort of know
up.
That with a great big arm from a 6'4" winger, hits you right across the jawbone. That's high.
That's high. It's interesting. It got worse when Victor Radley was probably unfairly, as we said earlier, put in the sin bin. They were down to 11, where they played better, mind you. But
they're having a competition, aren't they?
Yeah.
Luttrell.
But they are 10-all. Like, but Luttrell leads in brain snaps.
Is it not like those two teams, though? They're like Siamese twins separated at birth, not 1909 or whatever.
I hope there's not a WhatsApp group where Latrell and Victor go 10 sin bins each. Teddy goes, well, I got 10 concussions. And Latrell goes, well, I'm going for 12 brain snaps.
Yeah.
But the Dom Young dismissal, which, by the way, as everyone said, he left the field with his jersey split asunder down the sternum, Stephen, and everyone goes, what a tremendous rig. And
That's what he called it, you know, when you get a calendar. December model, Dom Young, here he is, beautiful.
Raise a bit of money for charity.
That's right.
And interestingly, the question was it a swinging arm? But the modern rugby league jersey, because it's so aerodynamically efficient, I think it actually demonstrates that if you come in with a swinging arm, the jersey will be rent asunder and therefore prove positive it should be sent off.
That's true. Now, isn't there a discussion that, you know, when they say, is that a forward pass, is how the ball trajectory goes when it leaves the hand? What if the swinging arm just leaves at a lower point but somehow lands at a higher point? That goes out the window, doesn't it?
You're talking physics, Stephen, which I don't understand anything about. But we had a very...
Darwinism, yes. Thank you, yes. Physics, no.
But we had a very interesting anatomy lesson from Supercoach Robinson in relation to the Dom Young send-off.
You know, and it hit him in the jaw, but it wasn't a swinging arm. It was open-handed. Was lower than shoulder height.
Put your head on my shoulder. Hold me in your arms.
Look, you might have seen Gordy Chalice on one of those TV shows. He says, what is Trent Robinson on? We all saw that. He says, well, we're at Fire Upright. We've been scouring those back alleys trying to find that particular drug that Trent Robinson's on. We can't find it.
Look, I love the bloke. There's no bigger fan of Trent Robinson than me, Stephen, because he's always looking for the one percenters. And you know that I am the first to extol the work he and Bradley Charles Stubbs have done together. Two premiership rings, fact.
Well, what do we get out of it?
But when Robbo goes down the dark, mystic arts of hypnotism and you start to play with people's minds, Stephen, the concern is you're also playing with your own mind. And I'd hate to think that Robbo, in some genuine sense, is starting to lose his sense of perspective and balance. And that's probably...
Does that mean he's dialed out?
No, that means he's looking for some Ritalin, I think, in the back alleys. Okay. Well, the other irony was in the press conference, he went on to say, because the Roosters came storming back with 12 men and at one stage 11 men almost won the thing until Victor was put in the sin bin. He goes, we dialed in the second half.
Right.
Which begs the question, is he so complacent, so confident as the Dogs...
So cocky.
...that he didn't play the
dialing card? Didn't
bother
to dial in.
Forgot to dial in.
Yeah, yeah. What time did the game start?
And how many times have you missed a conference call?
Is it Mrs. Robinson? Shouldn't you say, now listen, Trent, have you dialed in yet? Because it's got to be one-on-one verbal, right? Got to call all the players. Unless they have a group chat. Can you do that?
First of all, I've just got Simon and Garfunkel in my head now. But you would have think we all learned from COVID the importance of keeping the economy going by sitting on your computer and dialing in. Not halfway through the call, but at the beginning of the call.
Sorry, so this hypnosis works over Zoom. Does it?
It's the timbre of Robbo's voice that triggers all those Roosters boys to peck a little bit of imaginary grain and then play rugby.
Right. Now, look, we love Robbo, right?
Adore him.
And, man, whatever storm's coming his way, he finds a way to guide that ship, that Rooster ship, all the way through every time. A lesser man would fall down. They wouldn't be climbing up mountaintops and espousing speeches and wartime Chilean this and whatever.
Oh, he is a George Stephanopoulos quality spin doctor, Stephen. There's no doubt about it.
Which brings us to the troubled man, Michael Jennings.
Ooh, this is a difficult
now,
one.
Now, he's celebrating 300 games, but he was knocked out for a period of time as an actual drug cheat.
So, from rugby league...
Not back alley stuff.
From rugby league, he was found guilty of two performing enhancers substances, Stephen.
Have you got their names?
Please.
Oh, well, okay, let's have a look. So,
I think it was Lagrandrol and Ibutamorin.
I'm just Bitamorin.
Right. Not to be confused with Ubuntu.
No.
Which is... Van Kylenberg has got the electric horseman spruiking.
No wonder we get confused, Chris.
Up at Suncorp Stadium. Anyway... That left him marooned on 298 games for 3 years, Stephen.
For 3 years. Mm-hmm. But the tenacity of the bloke to come back and fight. Now, Luttrell would never do that, would he?
No.
If he was out for 3 years, he would go on, I'm gone, well, I'm out
and probably enjoy his life on Taree, where I see those Rabbits have... By the way, the Rabbits have banned him from going back to Taree during these 3 weeks. Wow. Our mate Andrew Webster wrote an article saying the genius of Wayne Bennett was to let Luttrell go back to Taree.
Do what he does. And play cowboy like Beyonce.
Bennett, Hasler, Maguire. You watch.
Yeah, okay.
So Jennings apparently bumped into Robber, I don't know, at a shopping mall, an IKEA or something, and he goes, Michael, how are you? And he goes, Trent, I've got an agenda. I want to come back.
Do you think Jennings might be a master of mind control in those 3 years off that he actually went and learned from Mandrake himself? Possible.
Do you think he's...
And he's bamboozling Trent now.
He's outthought Trent. Trent's only fairly new to the hypnotism game, that's possible.
Yes.
There'd be a grade of hypnotist, wouldn't
he? He's a naivety in action.
I always say Bradley Charles Stubbs says, who coaches the coaches?
Yes, exactly.
Who hypnotises the hypnotists?
Exactly, yeah. Is it Bradley?
It's Michael Jennings, apparently.
See, now we're talking, aren't we? Mm. The black silver cape.
I'm not a fan of rugby league, but I love fire up.
There was a time when, of course, it involved more than just a layoff for 3 years for drugs, wasn't it, Chris?
So, Stephen, this is where on this show...
We get a bit tricky.
It does get tricky because we're not looking for humour in situations that are pretty serious. Yeah. But let's just try and... I'll just try and sort of plainly describe that not only was he out of the NRL for 3 years for drug offences, and he's done that time, he's able to come back, but he was found to have been involved in... I'll just put it plainly, Stephen, sexual assault on his former wife at a civil level.
Right.
And
civil level.
Civil level, which is below the criminal level.
He was
never charged.
Has to pay money.
So that was proven, and he's got to pay his wife damages. Yeah. And he's not in a position, apparently, despite some property disposition, to have paid a dollar.
Right. So he had assets. So
it no longer does. Yeah. And so the agreed facts is that damages award, which he appealed and lost, has not been repaid.
How much, Chris?
$500,000.
$500,000?
Yeah.
Right.
But
it's
been decided, the powers that be down at Bondi Junction, that let's put Michael Jennings on a train and trial.
So Robbo says, describes it as a desire to help the 2013 Premiership winner back to being the best version of himself. Now, that's nice, Chris.
In principle,
the best version of himself, okay. The idea wasn't to get him back in and play NRL. No, it wasn't just about playing footy.
Except he's got him back to play NRL.
That's exactly what he's done, yes. The idea was to help him get back on track, back to being the best version of himself. Because I'd hate to see the worst version, wouldn't you?
True.
Yeah, Robinson said of his initial offer to bring Jennings back into the Roosters fold. His purpose is really clear. He wants to play for his kids and his family, and he wants his kids to see him as a good dad and a footy player. That's it.
And Robbo says this is an ability for him to rewrite his story. I'm not sure how you rewrite the matters that we've just discussed.
It could be a long story, Chris, and we'll give them the benefit of doubt.
And you and I, we both love rugby league and its redemption
stories,
Stephen. Yeah. But I think all Robbo's comments should be made subject to the fact that he sorts out that balance of that matter, because it's put the Roosters into, I think, a fairly uncomfortable position. They rolled out Daniel Tupu and Angus Crichton to say, how do you feel about the fact that, as the NRL has now said, we won't be officially celebrating on field
his
300th game. And they made reference to the drug matters, but not the other civil matter.
They didn't mention it.
I think both the NRL and the Roosters are looking pretty stupid right now.
Yeah, well, you could say, Chris, it's a work...
God, that feels serious.
A work in progress, because redemption doesn't happen overnight. Now, we know footy players like Zach Lomax sometimes are overpaid at $850,000. A $500,000 debt, easy, 1 year. But he's 35 years old. What if he doesn't actually make it past next year? What happens then?
I don't know. I mean, we've got an American election coming up, Stephen, and I think you can add chapters to your story, but I think there are some running for office in the United States who think you can rewrite your story. And I'd hate to package Robbo up in that sort of environment.
Well, just that last word, because he likes another word. I'm proud of what we can do for the players that have worn the jersey. Imagine that, Chris, that have worn the jersey. And we want to get the best version. If we can do something to your system, then that's where it's coming from. And then the Roosters acknowledge that the celebration of 300 games will be behind closed doors.
Where they'll get on the Legrand roll and the Ibitamarin or whatever it's called.
Is that a song, Chris? Is that a song?
Was that Charlie Pride or something?
Yeah, behind closed doors. That we don't want to go there either.
Can we play that song now?
I think we can, Chris. I think we can do it.
Let's hear it now.
Let's fire up, and we're on the roll here, you know, so we can do whatever we want.
My baby makes me proud. Oh. won't she make me proud? She never makes a scene by hanging all over me in a crowd. Cause people like to talk, boy, don't they love to talk? But when they turn out the lights, I know she'll be leaving with me.
Welcome back, you're on Fire Up. Stephen, sad day in the history of the Balmain Rugby League Football Club yesterday with the passing of the great Keith Barnes at the age of 89.
Right, yes. I saw him.
Right, and I didn't...
As a youngster.
I didn't see him play. I didn't see live rugby league until after he retired. Memories?
Well, we all remember the straight-ahead kick as Eric Sims...
Toe poke.
Kevin Longbottom.
Yes.
You know, Graham Langlands. They all did that beautiful swoop with the arm up in the air. Not as graceful as Graham Langlands and therefore didn't win as many premierships as Graham Langlands, dare I say. But one of my heroes. When I used to collect footy cards, he was one of the ones I wanted to be picked.
Keith, unfortunately, retired the year before Balmain won the grand final as he stepped down from the West Tigers administration a year before we won the premiership in 2005. My initial memories, of course, was he was the expert commentator alongside Ray Warren in the Amco Cup.
Ray was quite, teared up this week nearly.
Yeah, well, you know, they were very much part of my introduction to rugby league and with his Welsh accent, you know, certainly have Alan McMahon on my side. He's played very well for Balmain this year. And a tremendous administrator and football player. And they say that with the toe poke, and of course there are the pictures of the Golden Boots boots in the paper today. The one
where do they exist, Chris?
Well, unfortunately, they've been in a display cabinet in the meth lab.
I better ask that. Be worried. Is that why there's a crew going through there just last weekend? Like, I saw that.
Looking for memorabilia. They found a few locks of Kerry Hemsley's hair.
And the war chest.
That's right. And a half-eaten pie from Arthur Beeson.
That's right.
Who was stood down from the 69 grand final.
Who wouldn't wear a suit and wouldn't go to any of the official functions, right?
For a Dom Young, hit him in the jaw below the shoulder tackle.
Yeah.
But Keith Barnes sort of epitomised everything that you want your football heroes to be. And the toe poke boots, it says in the paper today, all the modern advantages about curated grounds and synthetic kicking tees and modern balls, the one thing that the leather ball could be done compared to synthetic, you could kick it further.
Yes.
And he was known, whilst we didn't have ultimate success, he did beat St. George once by kicking a penalty inside his own half.
Wow. And those when those the balls, when they were wet, weighed an extra 8 kilograms, didn't they?
That's right.
Or 10 stone in the old language.
That's right.
And they could still do it.
Fantastic.
In the mud, the rain, or whatever. So you're talking about these greats, of course, and speaking of the Tigers. David Clemmer. Hey? Had to explain to his kiddies about a recently... moment.
It was
immortalised as a photo.
Yes.
Where he was just loving winning.
So there's been a lot of attention about the... We keep again talking about entomological developments in rugby league, Stephen.
Yes.
And the latest is when Ricky Stewart talked about Canberra losing an 18-zip lead to the despised Cronulla Sutherland Sharks.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't us out there.
No.
And
will it be them when they get picked because of their connections to the Department of Foreign Trade and Affairs to go to Las Vegas next year? Will that be them?
Well, I love that. It's been reported they're on the plane because they work with high-ranking government officials.
Of course they do. It's Canberra.
But the clue was in the article said it was the Department of Foreign Trade and Affairs, not Foreign Affairs and Trade.
Right.
And if there's one thing that rugby league players can do
affairs,
a high level is
affairs anywhere, Vegas or Canberra.
Right, but this is not us.
And don't even talk about Bruce Lerman. Don't even start that conversation, please.
Aren't we excited the spotlight's back? Oh. And apparently they're punching down in the first episode just about a Zempic. Like, we need another documentary.
It's how many
about
wheels
that?
Upon wheels upon wheels are there, Chris? The greatest soap opera that nobody's really interested in anymore.
We sometimes...
And only in the Liberal Party, can I say that?
We sometimes agonise over whether this content is appropriate. No. Not at Spotlight, don't. No. It's all...
And you think that Peter Fitzsimons has enough to worry about to pick on rugby league.
Get your own house in order. That's all I'm saying.
So what did David Clemmer do?
Well, he, of course, was standing, attempting to distract the vision of King Gutho as he lined up the penalty
King
attempt.
Gutho. That, what is that, an oxymoron, right?
That's right. After full
King
time.
Of what?
Well, hey? Since 86, nothing in the cabinet for the Parramatta Eels.
No, that's right.
So,
but they have resilience, Chris, and grit.
And true grit. And so he's lining up the penalty kick after, you know, because Buller clearly had his arm pulled down.
That was to win the game, right?
Yeah. And actually, when I re-looked at it, I go, you know what, he didn't. But this would win the game.
Yes.
And he sprayed it left, Stephen. And Clemmer's given the old, slaps the hand on the bicep and curls the arm back.
Yep, yours.
And, of course, it's a YouTube sensation.
Yes. From his kid, his kids and his kids' friends, right?
That's right.
Kids.
So they go, Dad, what went on here? And he just had to sit them down. He goes, I don't know what their names are, Toby and Keith, perhaps.
Yes, yes.
He says, that's not Dad.
That's not Dad.
Which is a really confusing thing.
Yeah. That's a Ricky Stewart thing, isn't it?
Because when you're developing a father and son relationship and you've got video that appears to be your father and find out that it's not.
And all your crummy mates are saying, that's your dad. No, it's not.
And then they go back to the playground and go, that wasn't my dad.
No.
Then they belt the kids.
Yeah. Oh, no.
It's just a slippery slope, Stephen. David, own up.
But really, there's a saviour on the horizon for Parramatta, right? Zach Lomax. Now, Zach was families are important. We know that even when you're winning or losing, whether you're on top of the Darwinist social pile or not, you know. And Zach, he's doing pretty good, and he's earning good quid.
Beautiful
at the Dragons.
Take early in the slop off the Ben Hunt grubber. I should just add, Stephen, Clemmer's sons. How rugby league is this? Cooper, 11.
Oh, yes, of course.
And Jackson, 9.
That sounds familiar. Is that Michael Jackson's kids?
Yeah, so Lomax is playing at a high level on the wing. Yes. And if we go back to money.
Did you see that pass the other night, even though we lost?
You told me about the flick pass. Yeah.
Wow.
So he's got all the skills, and he's been paid not winger money. He's been paid too much because he's nailed his colours to the mast.
Yeah.
And said, I'm out of here. And isn't it interesting that Ben Hunt, who wanted to get out more quickly than you can possibly imagine, now wants to stay.
Chris, can I suggest maybe that Flano's a stinger?
Yes.
You know, is a miser. And that war chest is not big enough. So if he can say, at the end of the year, you go from 850 to nothing, and we get somebody else in at, let's say, 500, then maybe Ben Hunt's going, oh, maybe there's a bit of dough floating around here.
This is how Flano's building up the war chest, right?
Because
people come asking for my money, and he just goes, you just need to be more resilient.
Yes, that's right.
And ka-ching. Ben Hunt's going to make out like a bandit, Steve. He's going to make out like a Volandis.
Gotcha. Now, Zach, of course, was wined and dined.
Yes.
We don't know if he's wined, but we know he's dined at the home of the coach.
Yes.
Brad and Michelle Arthur. Now, we don't know who did the cooking, but Brad was a little bit sort of circumspect. Said, well, look, if you're so interested in this sort of stuff, it's probably meat and three veg.
It's in the Hills District.
Yes.
I don't know if that gives a clue to the cuisine.
Wow. Peas, frozen peas, chops, lamb chops.
I don't know. Even before I knew it was in the Hills District, I just imagined dinner at the Arthurs would be lamb chops, mashed potato and peas.
Of course, maybe carrots.
Yeah, with a bit of barbecue sauce and mustard on the side.
That's right.
Right. You know, good home cooking.
What, has Zach not got that for the last sort of 5 or 6 years?
I think Wollongong's one of those palaces for all the takeaway joints, Stephen. It probably hasn't been the right diet for Zach.
Yeah.
And so he's been brought into the hearth. Whether Jake was there, the son who's now currently playing Australia at Manly, I'm not sure. But we are, dare I say, do you think he would have played the family club card?
Yes. But if the food's not up to chop, you know, you might go, Tetsuya, please. That's all I want every week. Delivered at home and you got me.
It is interesting.
Perry, maybe.
How does the mind of the modern rugby league player work? I crave family. I crave domesticity and familiarity.
Yeah.
Or do I claim something on the 51st floor of a fancy hotel with silver service as to where I want to go? But let me tell you, my mail is...
Yeah.
Lomax is going to the Parramatta this season and he'll be playing halfback because they're in that much trouble without Mitchell Moses.
That is true. Now, I just read a note about Brad. Toughness and resilience, two words often spoken about the man some Parramatta fans continue to refer to as just a bush footy coach. But his wife can nail a good lamb chop.
And let me tell you, Michelle's pavlova was to die for.
Was it?
Yeah, it was absolutely sensational.
Did he get that, though?
Zach goes, where do I sign?
Exactly. Now, look, talking about families and wellness, as we have been doing, and food not to at this point, Marty, and it's all wrong now. I can't say tapau anymore.
Tapau.
Tapau. Right. We loved Tapau for a while, didn't we?
We loved Tapau.
Well, it was Batman style, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's onomatopoeic, I think.
Yes. So, Marty, we'll call him Marty for now, and his wife, Michelle, have opened something. What's it called?
Okay, so you love a witty name, don't you?
Yeah.
I once was thinking about a homeware shop and calling it retail therapy, right?
Yes.
Not stationary.
Not stationary.
STATIONARY.
Yes.
And it's not stationary because it's stationary.
Yeah.
And you go to the
Is it a travel item?
Well, the Tapau's are offering and seems almost somewhat odd in this modern age.
Yes.
Luxury-bound leather notebooks.
Right, but that must be troubling. That's a joke with not stationery, right?
Yeah. Planners.
Yes.
And here's the nub, Stephen.
Right.
Other lifestyle products.
Other lifestyle products.
So not stationery. It's clearly a front for an adult toys offering that the top
dare I say Michelle is the brains behind this. Clear.
Marty's too busy powerlifting.
Yes.
And that's not all, Stephen.
Yes, right. Well, tell me more.
They have opened up Disruptors, all caps,
yes.
D-S-R-U-P-T-R-S. Get it? They're disrupting
the language. Before we go any further, you might remember right in the middle of COVID where two words cropped up, Disruptors and Pivot. Everybody wanted a pivot and they wanted some sort of disruption because they'd been disrupted.
And the Tapo influence has now bled into rugby league and Felix Annesley. They now say when the bomb goes up,
yes.
And the fullback, maybe poor old Tyrell Sloan, didn't have a great night the other night,
yes.
Is trying to capture it, the offensive player running through has to legitimately be watching and making an attempt to play the ball. Otherwise,
the ball. Yeah.
Cynical disruptor.
Cynical disruptor. Is that a term?
It's a rugby league term now.
Now, that's better than disruptor.
That's right. We don't want cynical disruptors. And the ball lands in the drop zone.
Right. And what sort of business is disruptor?
Speakers, Bureau and Talent Management.
Oh, nice. So okay. I'd say Michelle is definitely the brains behind that one, right?
For comedic purposes, I'm going to suggest they're sex workers. Right. But...
And you reckon it's not spelled correct?
Well, neither stationery for the product line or disruptors is spelt correctly, so maybe a spelling academy could be their next.
Right. Now, did they come out of the academy called Kids Who Can't Read Good and Who Want to Learn to Do the Other Stuff Good Too? Did they?
I don't know.
Let's look into it. Okay. Talking of families, of course. But now, I don't know. I'm getting confused that maybe, and it always crops up, of course, with new coaches and Gus School, something along the line that people go, who's the father, who's the son? Mm. Are they really father and son? Mm-hmm. Do they act like that? Do they hate each other? Mm-hmm. You know. So Seraldo and Gus School at loggers, but then they go, no, they're not.
Hurts a bit Seraldo if he ends up being a good coach, though I'm loving what Benji Marshall is doing at the moment, particularly because he's only part-time. Is Seraldo a big Balmain fan, and you know that's why he was flirting with the Tigers until he spent 8 hours locked up with poor old Lee Hatchapetelis at the Zurich Centre, and that was it.
Yeah.
So he's gone on board to his Penrith mentor, the great Gus Gould.
Yeah.
And team's going poorly early in the season. It's a pretty familiar script with Gus. He had it with Trent Barrett, of course.
Yeah.
So the rumour goes out around X, which I think you described on air, on Sold Out, which we've got our party, Stephen.
Oh, this Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock so till 9 p.m.
This is your last chance.
We've got our last, I think, 30 tickets left.
Yeah, humanitix.com.au.
That's the one.
Come and join us.
That's
It'll be one. Great. Yeah, the National Arts School at the Cell Block Theatre in Darlinghurst, 2 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Gee, I wonder if we'll get any footy fans going along.
I certainly hope so.
I hope so, yeah.
Of course, we've ridiculously scheduled it during the Tigers v Dragons
game. Our own game.
Campbell. So there'll be a big screen. If you have a watch
right
the game.
In front of the DJ booth.
So you'll get Sly and the Family Stone, Tyrell Sloan.
Yeah.
You know,
Tyrell Sloan.
It'll be terrific.
Yeah.
So, Gus, the rumour goes out through X, you described as a sewer on your radio show.
Yes.
That Gus was picking the team.
Right.
Well, first of all, they had a win on Friday night.
They beat
night.
The Chooks.
Yeah, right. So looks like he's doing pretty well.
Right, right.
But Seraldo had a different take on it, didn't he?
Yes.
His take was, it's ridiculous. Gus is not picking the team.
No.
What we have is a father and son relationship.
Oh.
And that means, like all fathers and sons, and you can speak about this, it's not an area of my expertise, you have disagreements. My only expertise is in relation to being the son, not the father.
Yes.
And I have to admit, my dad is 98.
Yeah.
And
you don't argue anymore.
No, when I go and visit him, he goes, well, first of all, they should put Clemmer back on the bench.
Yeah.
And give more minutes to Alex Twalt.
And no songs from Sly and the Family Stone.
That's right.
Right.
So fathers have a voice in this. Yeah. And isn't it beautiful that when we actually look at the oft-used and somewhat misnomer, in a way, family club, that the true family club, which is, of course, the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, is now being run by a father and son. I just think that's beautiful.
Yes, but not an actual father and son.
Have you seen the DNA? I don't know.
And you know what they always say with Seraldo? He looks like an Easter Island creature, you know? Stonework. Look at him. Doesn't bat. Doesn't change.
He used to, when he was a player, he had the shaved sides. He was a bit like a, you know, the Mattingly haircut from The Simpsons.
He's nonsense now, Chris.
Baseball episode. He looks very, very, very simple. And the interesting thing was a little bit like the poor Clemmer kiddies in the playground when pushed by the press. He says, Gus,
yeah,
that's not my...
That's right. Thank you very much. Fired up. One more episode. And last comment, Chris.
We've got a bonus, Stephen. We always are so joyful to have the musical genius of Dennis Carnahan.
Of course. Gets better every week.
Yeah, and it's very pertinent. This song is about round four, where the error rate was through the roof, Tom Trbojevic himself against your St. George Illawarra Dragons.
Well, the hapless Manly Warringah.
Like Robbo.
Seagulls.
Was on the wrong drugs, like three knock-ons and a forward pass that looked like he was playing NFL. So Dennis has talked about all the errors, and it just comes back beautifully to the fact of, did Tommy Talau knock the ball on for Cola to pick it up and score the length of the field try to put the Penrith Panthers to the sword?
Right.
And errors is a part of rugby league. Errors is a part of life. Yeah. Dennis, take us through it.
There's some really weird things happening out in the footy field.
He wants the ball, Daniel Tupou. Tedesco got his hand to it, lost it, looks very frustrated. Wow. Here's a lock ball by Daniel Tupou.
Okay, so Morgan Harper there to have knocked that ball on. Oh, yeah, it was. He slapped at it, Morgan Harper.
It's another knock on by Harper. Let's do it one more time.
Welcome to round four. Things are turning strange. Players who have safe hands suddenly have grown 10 thumbs or started slapping at the ball they should be catching. Why did everybody lose the ball?
Right down here to touchline, and he fell out and dropped the ball.
I've never seen like that. He's just dead set, dropped the ball. He's tripped over his own feet, and there was no one around him.
Jerry Evans comes right to Nathan Brown, and then the ball just dribbles along the ground and went forward. I mean, this is inexplicable for me.
Daniel Tupou's hands were in some kind of trance. Poor Jack Whiten's glance made him lose the ball untouched and then fall over James Tedesco's hands turned woeful. Why did everybody lose the DCE had his worst game ever, slapping hands and the balls came tumbling down. Tommy Turbo succumbs to the pressure.
Tom Trbojevic, he's lost it again. And that's two errors in 4 or 5 minutes from Tom Trbojevic.
And you just don't see him do that twice in a game, so I'm pretty safe to say I don't think we'll see him do it again.
Tom Trbojevic has done it again. He's dropped it.
3 times in 20 minutes. Poor Tom could not believe it. Why did everybody lose the ball?
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab.
Fire!